Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is William Arkin, one of America's premier military experts, having served in Army intelligence in West Berlin during the Cold War. Since then, he has written more than a dozen books, worked as an advisor to the most influential non-government human rights and environmental organizations, briefed hundreds of top military intelligence and government officials, and has been a part of countless exposés. Working for The Washington Post, he conceived and co-authored the landmark Top Secret America investigation and co-wrote the national bestseller of the same name with Dana Priest. His latest book is American Coup, How a Terrified Government is Destroying the Constitution. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Arkin.
Thanks for having me on again, Ian.
And the president's speech on last Friday suggesting reforms, or his coming up with his proposals to reform the NSA's activities, have been, I think, largely greeted with a tepid response from both the tech giants, who are concerned that they'll lose between $30 and $100 billion as a result of the NSA's ubiquitous spying on Internet communications, and civil libertarians feel that he barely addressed the problem. What's your response?
Well, I think that looking at Obama's reaction to Edward Snowden's revelations, which began last June, and now his various proposals for reform, it all depends on how you see the NSA and what you want the outcome to be. I think the public's understanding of the NSA is still pretty foggy, and that certainly makes it very difficult for the public to gain confidence in the NSA, which was one of the key themes of Obama's speech. And the second thing is, well, if you don't really know what the intelligence community is doing or why, it's really hard to then be satisfied with reform, because it's like reform of a misty ghost that you can't really characterize from the beginning. So I don't not take what Obama said seriously. I don't think that there's just a lot of smoke and mirrors here. I think there are real things going on. I think the Snowden revelations have had an incredible impact inside government, and that's lost on a lot of people. But the basic outline of the pursuit of American intelligence today, whether it be NSA or the rest of the intelligence community, which we've seemed to have forgotten, is to catch terrorists. And that sort of overwhelming endeavor, completely and utterly affirmed by Obama and not rejected by any of Washington, as far as I can tell, is really the basis for justifying what is going on. And if you don't change the paradigm of what you're collecting intelligence for, it seems to me that all you're really doing is changing the rules under which you do it. And those rules are shifting in our society from rules that used to govern what intelligence information was needed in order to provide warning or foreign policy advantage to the United States, to police information, that is, wrongdoings on the part of individuals, either prospective or retrospective. And that is the very definition of a police state. And so I have to say that regardless of what kind of legal predicates they're going to introduce, regardless of what kind of judges and privacy advocates and civil liberties advisors and all sorts of changes that they're going to make, if our intelligence community is slowly converting itself over to a police state, which is to say collecting information on potential crimes and crimes that have occurred, then it's also, in a very important way, changing the nature of our society.
Well, William Arkin, since 9/11, we have spent some $7 trillion on wars that we've lost in Iraq and Afghanistan, and The latest terrorist attack on the Boston Marathon, our intelligence service, with the beneficiary of all this incredible money that's poured in, and Homeland Security, of course, has been created, failed to stop that or detect these two brothers, even though the Russian intelligence people had flagged them and told our people about them. So when you say there's a lot going on inside the government in response to Edward Snowden's leaks, is that to say that rather than fix the fact that we have this massive terrorist industrial complex that doesn't appear to be very effective, they're just going to ask for more money because of the what they consider to be the damage that Snowden has done?
Well, certainly, Ian, they always ask for more money. I mean, we make a mistake in the Boston Marathon, the first reaction of Washington is, well, write us another check and we'll do better in the future. And to some degree, that's the very basis of the NSA's bulk collection program. You don't want us to miss any dots? Well, you know what? Then we're going to have every dot that is in existence within our possession. And maybe we'll connect them, but you know what? Don't give us the role of connecting the dots unless you'll give us the ability to have them all in our possession. So this kind of culture that starts with the belief that every failure to stop a terrorist attack, or every crime for that matter, necessitates a national security improvement, is certainly one that the Obama administration embraces, and it's one of the reasons why no one should be particularly optimistic about significant reform. But having said that, I think that the change that I'm referring to in Washington, Ian, is more that people are beginning to recognize that the intelligence establishment has grown too large to really fully oversee, that there are too many pieces operating independently, that secrecy is indeed being used to cover things that might be controversial or even illegal. And I think that each part of that is a part of the reforms, that is, the reforms that Washington is writing for itself, but it's not really a change in the broader paradigm of believing that our security is dependent upon having an understanding of the inner thoughts of every American, so that if any American contemplates terrorism or contemplates an attack upon the government, that they'll be detected.
Again, I'm speaking with William Arkin, one of America's premier military experts, having served in Army intelligence in West Berlin during the Cold War. Since then, he has written more than a dozen books, worked as an advisor to the most influential non-government human rights and environmental organizations, briefed hundreds of top military intelligence and government officials, and been a part of countless exposés. Working for the Washington Post, he conceived and co-authored the landmark Top Secret America investigation and co-wrote the national bestseller of the same name with Dana Priest. His latest book is American Coup, How a Terrified Government is Destroying the Constitution. So we don't know what's going on in terms of damage control and damage assessment inside the NSA and other intelligence agencies. And as I suggested, and I guess you confirmed, William Arkin, that at the very least they're going to ask for more money and tell us that Snowden's cost us billions. But one of the revelations that seem to be pretty clear and seems to be directed at why it is for example, the Germans were so upset, not so much about the NSA finding out what Merkel ordered on her sandwiches, but rather the economic espionage that's been going on in terms of trade agreements being negotiated. And that's my understanding, that the privatization of intelligence gathering has opened the door for commercial intelligence, and that's becoming more and more the priority. Is that right?
Well, it is certainly one of the key elements of President Obama's speech. And I might also point out to you, Ian, that in his speech he stated unequivocally that we did not collect intelligence to secure American economic advantage and wouldn't. Now, that's a pretty broad and bold claim, because philosophically, I don't think it's true, and I'm not even sure that I believe that it should be true. Well, and that gets to, again, a deeper philosophical question, which is, when we speak about rights and privacy, do we really mean the rights and privacy of Americans, or do we mean some kind of idea of universal rights and privacy? So this is the American NSA, working for the American government and the American people. And so we have to intrinsically start from the standpoint that being an American affords you not just certain rights and privileges, but certain advantages. And in that regard, if the intelligence community doesn't provide, say, for instance, cyber attack warning information to U.S. corporations, particularly U.S. corporations that are engaged in the business of national security, you know, I'd say something was wrong. And yet at the same time, we have this idea that Obama has now introduced, which says, we're going to extend the privileges of being an American to people who aren't Americans. We're going to start looking at protecting the privacy and the civil liberties of people who aren't even Americans. And I don't necessarily disagree with that kind of laudable goal, nor do I reject necessarily the idea of universal human rights, but it is a step in the direction of creating a police state, because it's essentially saying, whether you're an American or you're not an American, whether you're a corporation incorporated in America or overseas, whether you are a foreign leader or an American leader, everything is okay as long as you're not doing anything wrong. But if you're doing something wrong, which we're going to define, then you lose your rights. You lose your rights of privacy. You lose your rights of your civil liberties. And we, this police state, this intelligence community, is going to independently make that determination. And that, to me, changes both the nature of what we do our intelligence for and what the target of that intelligence is, and the unlimited appetite that it creates for information. Because if you're trying to detect people doing wrong and saying to everyone else, hey, don't worry about it, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, all your information is just being stored in the computer and it's of no use to the government and it's of no threat to you, then what you're essentially saying to everyone is, behave yourselves in the way in which we determine what good behavior means. And as a result of that good behavior, your privilege will be that the government won't harass you or won't take advantage of you or won't invade your privacy. And that's where we're moving, even with the Obama reforms. And so if we don't get to the question of the fact that this is an entity that works for us, that the government is a creation of the people and not vice versa, if we don't say to the government, you know what, we don't want to live in a police state, we don't want the intelligence community to have this unlimited appetite and for it to decide what to do with the information that it collects, then I'm afraid we're moving increasingly into this potentially transparent society in which really people who have law enforcement as their primary objective in charge. And law enforcement in the age of terrorism, of course, then gets you very dangerously into the areas of political dissent and views on the Middle East and views on war and views on whether or not you support the war on terrorism. And all of a sudden, we're back to a situation where those who disagree with what the government is doing, whether it be an Edward Snowden on a whistleblower level or a Muslim American are potential terrorists.
Well, of course, Ben Franklin's famous warning that he who would trade trade liberty for temporary security deserves neither. I guess if you did a poll, you'd probably find the majority of the people would respond more to the idea of fear of terrorism than an understanding of the value of privacy and their civil rights. I don't mean to be cynical, but what would you say?
Well, we have had a generation now that has grown up under the conditions of 9/11. And so you're not wrong, Ian. I think most Americans listen to that first sentence of almost every presidential speech on national security today and hear the words, you know, we got to do this in order to preserve our security. And there's very few people out there, certainly very few in the Washington area, who question the premise of that very paradigm. And so if we can't get to the real issue of what are the actual threats to our national security and what's the difference between a threat to our national security and criminal activity that's disruptive to the civil workings, then we're not going to be able to make the distinction between what's crime and what's war. And right now we're just living in a society in which we've given over the idea that everything constitutes war. And as a result of that, whether it's the collection of information that relates to drugs, whether it relates to terrorism, whether it relates to weapons of mass destruction, whether it relates to human trafficking, whether it relates to illegitimate financial activity, we cover it all up under the label of terrorism, and thereby most people don't question its propriety.
Well, just in the last minute then, William Arkin, the tech giants, of course, have met. They wrote a full-page letter to the Times and the Post. They met in the White House, and since this president's speech on Friday, they have exhibited a little, you know, tepid response, I guess. They're supposedly going to lose between $30 and $100 billion as a result of the NSA's ubiquitous spying on internet communications. Could we therefore hope that given the public's apathy and not understanding the priorities here, that the big tech giants will be able to weigh in here and force some real reform?
Well, I first of all, I hope, Ian, that you don't believe that. I hope that you don't think.
No, it's a question, not a belief.
Yes. I mean, I hope that you don't think that corporate America is the solution to the freedoms and security of the United States. These companies will merely find other profit centers and other ways of making money because that's what those companies are about. That's what companies are about. So I think that the tech giants being perturbed by the government's action may lead to better encryption. It may lead to better privacy controls. It may lead to more of a tussle between the government and the private sector over the control of information, all of which will benefit people. But I think in the end, it's going to have to be people and not corporations that rise up in revolt to this use of our increasingly transparent society and information against us. So I really think that as information becomes more and more available, as all of our information becomes more and more ubiquitous, really we have to look for legislative reform and legislative relief that's truly going to protect people's privacy in this information era. And here we are now, 14 years after 9/11. It's about time for us to figure out not the Patriot Act of the future, but the Freedom Act of the future, the one that's going to actually increase and guarantee our immutable rights under the Constitution in this increasingly transparent information age.
William Arkin, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on again, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with William Arkin, one of America's premier military experts, having served in Army Intelligence in West Berlin during the Cold War. Since then, he has written more than a dozen books, worked as an advisor to the most influential non-government human rights and environmental organizations, briefed hundreds of top military intelligence and government officials, and has been a part of countless exposés. Working for the Washington Post, he conceived and co-authored the landmark Top Secret America Investigation and co-wrote the national bestseller of the same name with Dana Priest. His latest book is American Coup, How a Terrified Government is Destroying the Constitution. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer David Rosshert. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.